You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Now, this is a very special Sunday. We are coming up on our 8th year anniversary in February. Yeah. You know, truly amazing that God has done in 8 years. Usually it takes churches much longer to get to this size, and why God has done it, I'm just blown away. But I have been very slow to lay my hands upon someone for leadership because the Bible says to take your time in anointing someone. But today, for the very first time, we are going to anoint Gilbert Torres as an assistant pastor here at HBC. Now, understand this. It is not it is not man who appoints someone to be a pastor, assistant pastor. It is God. We are simply recognizing what God is doing. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7 says this. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop or assistant bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop must be blameless, husband of one wife. You have only one wife? Yeah, okay. Kathy says yes. Okay, got it. Temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. Now, he doesn't get up here and teach, but he goes door to door and knocks on doors, and he shares the gospel with people. He's helped me with their men's study and BCF. So it's awesome. And of course, his example of his life is, but he doesn't get up here. He's not ready for that yet, but Not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. His children are all grown. If a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he'd fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must be a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And not only that, he has a good testimony with us inside the church, and we recognize what God is doing in him. And so our very first HBC assistant pastor is Gilbert Torres, and what a privilege. What a privilege. Anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father God, we just lift up, gosh, I lift up my friend, my brother, and now, Lord, our assistant pastor here at HBC. I thank you, Lord, for his faithful, tireless service. I thank you, Lord, for his hunger for your word. Lord, this man is always in your word. This man is always seeking to do what your will is. Despite all of our flaws, this man seeks you, Lord. And Father, he is a blessing to this church and to this body, and I am so honored and privileged to be anointing my friend as assistant pastor here at HBC. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's children said,
Amen.
You know, if there was water, I think it would have parted. All right. Yeah. You know what? It's up to the Holy Spirit. Okay. Open your Bibles to John chapter 20, verse 19 through 23. I've entitled our message this morning, Mission Possible. And I must say, hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You know, I was talking with Guy and Brent yesterday, and I was telling them how I was wanting to stay up and watch the ball drop, but I realized the Dodgers aren't playing. I'm from Houston. And what, you know what the sad part? I had to go to them. I said, the Dodgers were in the World Series, right? I don't even know. When you think of a joke, there it is. So. Now, maybe as we end 2017, maybe you said, wow, what a year. Or maybe you've said, wow, what a year. Whichever camp you're in, I want you to know this, that God has great plans for you and I, for us, if we will just submit to his will. And as we will just trust him. If you had a great year, guess what? You can have a better year. And if you had a hard year, God has a hope and a future for you this year. I think of Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. You don't have to turn there because I'm going to bounce real quick, but you can write it down. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5 says this. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are faithful and true. Listen, God loves to make new things. Did you ever notice that in the Bible? The only thing that isn't new is God. But he does this. He gives us an Old Testament and a New Testament. He gives us an old covenant and a new covenant. He gives us all new names. He gives us a new nature. He's even going to give us a new heaven and a new earth. Try and fathom that one day. You know, we're going to stand there with God. He's going to wipe away heaven. He's going to wipe away earth. And there will literally be nothing else but us and him. And we'll realize that nothing matters. And he'll go, watch this. And we'll go, wow. Forget the Big Bang. Big God. Very, very big God. And so I don't know what kind of year you had. Prayerfully, it was awesome. But if it wasn't, that's okay. We're going to make some adjustments this morning that prayerfully will take this new year to a new level. So let's look at John chapter 20, verse 19 through 23, as we look at mission possible. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, let's look at the mission possible. Verse 19, then the same day at evening. What same day? The same day that Jesus Christ left the tomb. He rose from the grave. That same day, being the first day of the week. What's the first day of the week? Sunday. When the doors were shut. Now, the wording there in the Greek, doors were shut, denotes that the doors are locked. They're fastened. Why? Because the disciples don't know if this mob that said, crucify him, are going to come and take them away and crucify them. So they're fearing for their life. And Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be with you. Now, I want to point something out to you. When it says Jesus came and stood, I've heard pastors teach that Jesus walked through the door. Do you see that in the scripture anywhere? No. What happened is Jesus literally walked from one, he took a step from one dimension into their dimension, into our dimension. He didn't walk through any doors or any walls. He just appeared. How that works, I don't know. But he says, peace be with you. You know, if it was me, I would have went, boo. Just to see them jump. You know, they're already afraid. I'm just kidding. Sorry, guys, chill. But Jesus isn't like me, thank God. He comes and he says, peace be with you. Now, the resurrection. You see, the reason that Jesus is appearing to them is to validate the resurrection. I am truly risen. Now, why is that so important? Here's why. Because if the resurrection is validated, then it validates all the teachings of Jesus that he ever made. He says, listen, I've just done the impossible, which means that everything that I've told you in my word is possible for you to do. His teachings are valid. Then we need, listen, if Jesus' teachings are valid, then we need to respond to them if he is your Lord. If he is your Lord, you need to respond to him as Lord. And we never say, no, Lord. We say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. The disciples, they've been hanging with Jesus, and he's been telling them over and over again, listen, I must go and die. And they're like, but you're the Messiah. You have a mission. And in their mind, mission impossible. Jesus, if you're going to die, how in the world are you the Messiah? You're supposed to have the government on your shoulder. You're supposed to lead us into this new age. You're talking about an impossible mission. It was so impossible the way that Jesus was explaining it in their minds that they even thought it was impossible that he should die. So they didn't believe it. But the whole time, Jesus knew of the resurrection. He knew of the call of his dad. And he said, I must be about my father's business. Why? Because he knew that it was mission possible because he is God. I love this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Here you go. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So Jesus came to validate to the disciples that the resurrection was real. He showed himself to them. And then he says, you know what? I've just accomplished what you thought was mission impossible, but now I'm going to give you a mission possible. And we're going to see that it applies to us here momentarily. But understand, plain and simple, folks, salvation without Jesus Christ is impossible. There is no way to the Father but through Jesus Christ. But thank be to God, Jesus did the impossible to make our mission to be saved possible. Isn't that cool? And not only that, he made it easy because he did all the work. Look at this. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Remember, they're afraid. They're afraid. They think that they're fearing that possibly a mob will come and get them. It's been scary for them. Let me ask you a question. Isn't it true that most people don't like change? I hit some buttons, didn't I? Yeah, change can be scary. Oh, no. We like little change. We like the changes that we're in control of. Like, hey, I got a new car, new shoes. We love new shoes. You get happy feet. It's great. But when it comes to the big changes, the changes that God likes to make in our life. Do you realize that? Do you realize that God wants us to change? He wants to do new things for us. Why? Because if all I ever do are things that are easy for me, guess who I'm not relying on? Him. Before the disciples, can you imagine how much change they have gone through in the last 3 days? First, they were following the most popular guy in all the country, Jesus. He's like a celebrity, and they were his entourage. They were rolling. But then they came and arrested him. What a change. Then they came and brutalized him. They saw their beautiful Savior just get torn to bits and hung on a cross and spit upon and mocked and horrible things said about him. What a shakeup in their life. They had Jesus with them. Now they have nothing. They feel alone and scared. They had a mob that was after them for miracles and blessings, and now they're fearing that the mob is after them to kill them. They went from having a purpose to having no purpose, and life now seems pointless. They even go back to fishing because life seemed pointless. Most people don't like change. The disciples definitely weren't dealing with change very well. But God loves to change things. This year, I don't know what kind of year you had. But are you ready to let God lead you to change? Are you ready to have that peace? Remember, he came to the disciples and said, peace be with you. What God wants to do is give them peace. What God wants to do in your life is give you peace. If I were to ask, and I'm not, don't show me a bunch of hands, but if I were to ask, how many of you want peace for 2018? Everyone, I think, would want peace. In fact, if you were running for Miss America, they all say it, world peace, world peace, right? But when I looked up the top 10 New Year's resolution, not one of them was to live in peace. Why? Well, because I think deep down, most people believe that it's an impossibility to go a whole year in peace. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is mission possible. God wants to give you peace throughout the whole year. It's you and I who don't embrace the peace. Why? Because we doubt his word. But in my search for New Year's resolutions, I found some interesting ones. How about this? I'll just share a couple of them with you. Here's one New Year's resolution. To eat more nice things like candy and Big Mac and popcorn and ice cream. And less junk like fruit and vegetables and soy nuts. That was my last year's New Year's resolution. Can you tell it worked? One person said, my New Year's resolution is to find out what resolution means. This one hit close to my heart. One person, I'm assuming it was a guy, said, my resolution would like to be 4K UHD, because right now I'm at 1080p. 4K UHD, never mind, that's okay. You know what? First service was a lot hipper. They were like, yeah, baby. 4K, dog. Anyways. One person says, obviously someone up north, my resolution is to stop licking frozen flagpoles. You know, I would think you did that one time and you learned your lesson, but I like this. My resolution is to find one owner's manual and actually read it. I got two more. My New Year's resolution is to take my kids to the zoo when all the animals aren't sleeping. And then this one, wow, this one's going to hit close to home. To spend less time interacting with people and more time with my phone. Doing pretty well so far. Wow. You know, Paul in the Bible, he had a resolution. Did you know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Listen to his resolution. For I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. That's a good resolution. In fact, it's not even a resolution, it's a resolve. See, a resolution you make one day for the year, a resolve is something you hold on to day in, day out. And I love Paul. And that should be our heart, people. This year, 2018, may it be the year where you said, I just want to know Christ and him crucified. Everything else can fall by the wayside. But I do have people that come to talk to me sometimes, and they're like, Pastor, I want to know Christ, but it seems like mission impossible. I try and I read and I pray, and I just feel so distant from him sometimes. Remember when Jesus came and grabbed his disciples? Remember what he said to them? He didn't say, hey, guys, believe in me. No, he said this, follow me. Amen. Someone's party. I want to be in there. See, if I tell someone believe in Jesus, then the trials come and difficulty come, and their belief kind of wanes and waxes in the early stages. But if I tell someone, hey, believe in Jesus, but let's follow him. Guess what happens when you follow Jesus? You spend time with him. You get to know him. You do the things he does. How about when Jesus gave the parable of the seed and the soils? You know, the sower went out and sowed some seed, and some fell on hard ground. That was hard hearts. And the seed was the word of God. He tells us that. And so he's sowing the seed, and some fell on hard hearts. Some fell on shallow hearts and sprung up, and then they blew away. Some, good soil. You realize when Jesus used that analogy of seed, that you take the seed and you put it in the ground and you water it, and then you what? Wait. See, brothers and sisters, maybe this last year you struggled at times to feel like you were getting to know Jesus. That's okay. Just keep following him. Because if you're following him, you'll be getting to know him, getting to know all. I'm sorry. I can't help it. In fact, you should see me at home. It's so sad. My wife says, kids, never mind, he's doing it again. But isn't that what I want to know? Christ. I want to know Jesus. I want to have an intimate relationship with the Lord. And it's going to take time. Even with born again, remember Nicodemus over in John chapter 3? What must I do to be saved? Nicodemus, he comes to him and he says, hey, you must be born again. And then, of course, after that, he makes a statement, for God so loved the world that he gave him. But prior to that, he says, you must be born again. Well, what do we know about babies? If you have a baby, the baby didn't just come out and then says, I'm ready to drive and I'm going to college. See you later, mom and dad. No. The baby cries. The baby wants milk. The baby then slowly grows and takes time. And then one day the baby's walking. Then one day the baby's talking. Then one day the baby's mocking. No, I'm just, it rhymed. I don't know. But it's just like our walk as Christians. Listen, if you're feeling, like when I got saved, it took a couple of years before I started feeling God. Even though I knew he was real, I needed to follow him and get to know him, not just know of him. If you're following Jesus, you will get to know him. Listen, salvation happens at a point of time, but true salvation is proven over time. Because salvation happens one moment, boom, you're saved. But true salvation is proven over time. Salvation happens in a point of time, but sanctification, the process of being made holy, that takes time to happen. Now, the door is locked. The wording in the Greek kind of denotes that they had locked the door. They had barred it shut. They were afraid. Disciples are fearful for their life. Jesus comes and stands in the room. Says, hey, peace be with you. And then he says this, verse 20. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Listen, you got to understand. We look at this scene and we go, oh, it's Jesus. They should just be happy. No. First of all, they're scared. They're probably the room, they don't have like, you know, lighting like we have. So it's probably kind of dark in there. And then remember this. If Jesus showed him the scars, he has all of the scars. They ripped his face and punched him in the face, pulled his beard out. They tore his skin up. He's probably a little swollen and scabbed and cuts and flesh. He has all of his scars, not just those. So he pops in. It's like a monster when they first see him in the dark. And he shows them, look, these aren't the only scars I have. I have the ones that tell you who I am. They're like, oh, Lord Jesus. Of course, it was Thomas who said, I'm not going to believe unless I can put my finger in them, which is weird. I'm just like, I don't need to do that. I need to see you, Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. I love that. He breathed on them. I love this picture of Jesus breathing on them. Why? You know why? I often say this. I can't give you the cold unless I have a cold, right? You can't give me the cold unless you have a cold. Please don't. I hear it's a pretty bad one. But I can't give it to you. I can't give you the cold. I always say that. But basically, Jesus breathed on them. I might as well say that he sneezed on them and he gave them a cold. He gave them a fever for the gospel. I love that. The good news, the gospel, that Jesus Christ is alive. I think of a virus, right? You know, some viruses have a suffix that's simplex. They call it, you know, this virus, simplex. Have you ever heard that? Well, I thought about the gospel. Isn't that the gospel? Simple yet complex. It is a virus, a beautiful virus that needs to spread much more vigorously. The gospel is so simple that a child can understand it, yet it's so complex that it takes my whole life of exploring it to even grasp a little bit of it. See, salvation isn't just a good idea. It's an incredible idea from the mind of God and from the love of God. It's purely his love that he's provided us with salvation. But think about this. Good ideas need to spread. What good is it if I have a good idea and I don't share it with anybody? Then it ain't much of an idea, is it? But if you take a good idea and we can spread that idea like a virus, how awesome. Think about YouTube. When a YouTube video is popular, they said what? It went viral. Shouldn't Jesus go viral? Jesus Christ breathed. He sneezed on them and they got on fire. They got a fever for the gospel. People, I wanted that. Don't you want that fever? You know, we've been looking at the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Listen, we can ask for it. What do we say? Pastor Randy, I would love for the gospel to spread. Do you realize these 12, we'll get there in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. I would love for the gospel to spread, but you know what? I don't have the tools. I don't have the tools. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, people come up to me and say, well, Pastor Randy, I'm not really good at that. I'm not good at sharing my faith. I'm not good at that stuff. I don't speak well. Look at the disciples. The disciples were uneducated. They didn't have a formula. They didn't have a program. They didn't have a website. They didn't have Facebook or Twitter. They didn't have a way of streaming. They didn't have a building. All they had was a fever for the gospel because Jesus had breathed on them, sneezed on them. Brothers and sisters, we have the same gospel. You and I have the same Holy Spirit. Do you realize I don't have more Holy Spirit than you? Do you have the same Holy Spirit that I do? Do you have the same Holy Spirit as the person behind you, in front of you, beside you? Do we have the same Holy Spirit as the disciples? It's the same God. Why is it that we act so differently? Because we haven't allowed Jesus to give us the fever. He wants to, but you can't get it unless you get close to him and begin to follow him. If I have a cold, you're not going to get it from me if you just observe me from across the room. But you get close to me and hug on me, I'm going to get you sick. I don't have the cold. Thank God I don't have it. Thank you, Lord. But these guys, listen, they had the gospel, they had the Holy Spirit, and here's they had obedient hearts. So they became filled because they were obedient, and therefore they became powerful. Acts chapter 17. If you would turn there if you want, or just jot it down. It's there on the screen. Acts chapter 17, verse 6. Listen to this. They were angry at the disciples because they're being very effective. So they catch some guys, not the apostles. They just catch some of the crew. Watch this. But when they did not find them, the apostles, not the B-apostles, the apostles, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." Wow. Those 12 disciples that were afraid in the room, that were jumpy when Jesus showed up, when he breathed on them, they began to turn, well, actually after Acts chapter 2, but with the Holy Spirit, they began to turn the world upside down. And listen, we are here because of those 12 guys spreading the gospel. If you and I, if all of us in this room have the same Holy Spirit, shouldn't we be turning this valley upside down? There's only 64,000 people in this valley. That's all. That's including Needles and Laughlin. Thank you. And there's 54 churches. Something's not going viral. We need to get a fever. We don't need to be going to church. We need a church that is going for the Jesus who is coming. Do you realize that Jesus, in none of his sermons, ever asked for the world to come to church? But over and over, he commissioned the church to go out to the world. You see, I want to go out to the world, introduce people to Jesus, and then have them follow me to church. So important. Such a difference. But we need a fever. And I lost my place. We need a fever for the gospel. We need to go out. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Thank you, Lord. We're going to put a sign right outside this door on that wall. When you go out that door on the wall, we're going to put a sign that says, "You are now entering the mission field." When you leave the church, you're going out in the mission field. You can either go out these doors with a fever for the gospel and make Jesus viral, which he deserves to be more than any YouTube video, or we could deny the power of the Holy Spirit in us, and so many people miss out on the beauty of Jesus Christ. You see, we go out into the mission field from here, but we come in to get restored and replenished and pumped up. I got some questions for you. Do you have a mission, a goal for 2018? Do you believe the words that are written in the Bible? Do you believe that they are truly the word of God, the living and true God? Yes. Then what are you doing about it? Are you making his word go out? I like this. One person said this, and I don't remember who said it, but I have the quote here. If your faith in the cross hasn't changed you, then it hasn't saved you. God loves change. I challenge you to find a verse in the Bible where it looks like God doesn't want change. I see change. He changes names. He changes natures. He's just constantly changing. Because God likes to challenge us. All truth leads to subjective change. What I mean by that, in other words, if you say the Bible is true and it doesn't change your life is saying that you don't really believe that it's true. Your life will speak louder than your words. Isn't that true? Listen, we can say all kinds of things. We don't confirm our faith with our mouths. We confirm our faith with the way we live. The way I live will tell you whether I believe what I'm teaching. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I would really love for you to turn there if you can. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you need to see this. Just verifies everything I just told you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. And since we have what? The same spirit of faith. According to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore speak. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake that, listen to this, that grace having spread through the many, in other words, goes viral, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. How awesome would it be if people said, those people at HBC, they got a fever for Jesus. They're contagious. They're spreading. It's scary. No, it's not scary. But you wonder why. I do. You wonder why so many people in the church aren't making disciples. Maybe because they're not really a disciple themselves. They can't give a cold if I don't have a cold. I can't lead you to Christ if I've never been with Christ. The Lord said this, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. I was going to say tuna, but just to see if you're awake. See, once again, following the Lord Jesus is not the same as observing him. It's not the same as observing him. You know, I can watch people ride horses, but it doesn't mean I can't. Jennifer and I were just talking about riding horses. Desiree can ride a horse like jumps lakes and oceans and stuff on her. She's amazing. You know, touches airplanes and stuff. She's awesome. You know, her little legs on her squeezing real hard. But I can't. I went on a horse once, and the horse went his own way, and I said, forget this. I'm like pulling in the horse. So I gave up. But listen, I can watch people ride a horse. I can watch Desiree ride horses all the time, but I'm not going to be able to. I'm going to say, well, I can ride a horse now. Why? I've watched her do it for 40 hours. Well, no, you have to do it. You don't just follow Jesus from a distance. You need to observe, you not observe Jesus from a distance. You need to follow him up close. We need to get infected with Jesus by hugging on him, by loving on him. And by the way, do you realize it's all about love? Jesus went to the cross because he loves us. You and I, we need to love him enough to give back to him. Do you realize when two people are in love, they'll do anything. There's no cost. You don't count the cost when you're in love. You just jump. You'll jettison everything. Listen, if someone says they love you and they're not willing to jettison everything for you, then it's not love, it's lust. Get out of there, gals. The issue with the church, by the way, I just want you to know this. The issue with the church today in America isn't that there aren't enough good sermons. There are many awesome teachers, podcasts, live streaming, radio, church services. There are a lot of great Bible teachers. The issue isn't that there aren't enough good sermons, because there are plenty of good sermons. It's there's not enough obedience in the church. There's not enough people saying, I want a fever for Jesus and I want to infect people because they need to know how awesome my Lord is and I don't want them to miss out on the glory of God. And by the way, there's a difference between recruiting to the church and reconciling people to God. You see, I would much rather have this church on fire to reconcile people to God and have those people go to the other churches. I don't care. Just as long as they're reconciled to God, that's awesome. Get them saved. They don't need to come here. But we need to be obedient. Not because God said so, but because we love him enough to get on fire for him, a passionate love for a Savior. It's all about obedience. And did you know obedience is the greatest form of worship? I like what one person said. He said this, "When I worship, I would rather my heart be without words than my words be without heart." Tomorrow, what's it going to be like? Is it going to be the same old? No growth, no change, no challenge, no victory. 2018, don't say, you know what, I'm going to make a resolution and I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Don't turn over a new leaf, turn over a new life. A life devoted to Jesus Christ. You know, one person said this, "A glimpse of God will save you, but to gaze at God will sanctify you." I love that. I don't just want to gaze at Jesus. I want to walk right with my Lord. I want to do what he does. I want to say the things that he would say. I want to love the way he would love. I want to infect people with the glory and grace of God. What's your resolution this year? Can I suggest eject the resolution, be resolved every day to give glory to Jesus Christ, to lift up his name, and to share him with others, especially those that you say that you love. And let's introduce them to the most awesome God, the most awesome Lord, the one who was willing to love them so much. He loved us till it hurt. What an amazing love. He gave it all because it was really, really love, not lust. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. And Lord, as we enter this new year, I do pray and I do ask that we would examine our hearts and see, Lord, where we are. And the cool part, Lord, I love that your word says that at any time, any place, we can ask for your Holy Spirit. And you will give us the same spirit that the disciples had. The same spirit that Paul had. The same spirit, Billy Graham. And Greg Laurie, Chuck Smith, all these awesome men of God. You give us that same spirit. We just ask and walk in obedience and desire to be close to you. And Lord, we can be like the disciples and turn this valley upside down. Father, may we get a fever for the Savior. Father, may we be bold. May we have a love that casts caution to the wind. God, may we be what you want us to be this year. And Lord, then may we see the joy of the Lord infiltrate our hearts and our lives. God, I pray that for all my brothers and sisters here today. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that's never accepted you as Lord and Savior, I love the fact that they don't have to come forward. They don't have to raise a hand. They just need to really repent of their sin and say, Lord, I want to live for you. It's that simple. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, you can do that right in the quietness of your heart. Father, I pray if anyone feels the need to confess you as Lord, that they would do that and mean it. Because there's no magical prayer. There's no mantra. There's no magical words. It's just simply a surrendered heart, a surrendered life. What a great way to start the new year. With a new nature, a new heart, new name in heaven, a new destiny, a new hope. The only hope, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we ask this, Lord, in your precious and incredible name. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget, have a great new year.